Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Well, it's not too often that I actually get to have a guest here in the Fritzodome. That's what we call it, the Fritzodome.
The Fritzodome.
The Fritzodome. So,
I like that.
So Rich Bikini is here.
Hey.
Former WWE announcer. You might know him as Rich Brennan. And he lives here in town. And so we've hung out before. Yep.
Like 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the road from you.
Yeah, I know, right? We don't live that far apart from each other. Right. But we rarely see each other because of your weird schedule.
And your weird schedule as well.
I have a strange one. Exactly. Yours is worse, though, because you're working third shift.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I could work first shift if I really wanted to, like, really early first shift.
But that's worse.
It is worse.
Tell everybody what you're doing right now.
So I'm doing sports updates on the radio around the country, different markets. You'll hear me in the mornings, and I'm on in L.A. and Chicago and
only the biggest places.
Some other metropolises as well. I am on in Hutchinson, Kansas, so I know that that's a
huge
metropolis outside of Wichita. So basically, I'm the morning sports guy on some of the sports stations and even some of the regular. You know, the country station or the rock station or whatever it is. So, as we were saying, if I really wanted to, I could get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, get all the scores and stuff from the night before, and then have the report sent out and on the air for 6 a.m. However, it is usually easier just to stay up, get the stuff done, record it, and then go to sleep.
And nobody wants to wake up at that time of the morning. Everybody would rather just stay up late.
Exactly. You'd rather stay up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning and get it done as opposed to wake up at 3:30.
Time crunch and everything. Something goes bad.
Well, there's that too. And that's, I don't know what's worse, especially if you want to watch the games, which is half the reason why we get into this stuff, because we're sports fans, right?
Yeah, and quite honestly, this is a job that I used to have.
It is a job that
Fritz
used to have.
It's a job.
It's really funny the way things work.
Just to tell the strange backstory of this, so years ago, I had this job, and I ended up leaving that job, and it became available again, and come to find out, somebody was looking for work, and I ended up talking to you, and you go, hey, you won't believe this job I got, and I go, yeah, I used to have that job. I know those guys over there.
You know, it's funny, the first time that we really talked, I think the first podcast that we did, you mentioned that you used to work for the company.
Right.
And it was a couple of weeks later where I was, no kidding, I was at a baseball game in Daytona Beach, just going practicing, getting some innings, just calling some innings to keep up my baseball chops just because.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine sent me an email or sent me a text. He's like, hey, they're looking for an anchor. Perfect. Right?
Got my name written all over it.
Yep. And I don't have to move. I have the gear. And anyway, long story short, that's what I'm doing. So
yeah, because I remember I talked to you, and you go like, yeah, I got this gig.
I got your old gig.
And the funny thing is, somebody that works there actually hit me up, and they're like, yeah, do you know this guy? And I go, yeah. I go, yeah, Rich is great, man. They go, yeah. He goes, we just hired him for this job. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Was that Big Tony?
That was Big Tony.
Big Tony, right.
Big Tony.
So I'm enjoying it. I'm getting to learn a little bit more about I've always followed hockey. I've always followed baseball. Football, you just kind of know.
Yeah.
Basketball, you just kind of know. I've never been a big basketball fan, but the colleges, I never really paid much attention to. Growing up in the Northeast, nobody cares. I shouldn't say nobody, but generally college football is not a big deal in the Northeast. You're a pro football fan.
Right.
You're either a Giants fan, a Patriots fan, Jets fan, whatever. So college football, you've got Boston College, you've got Syracuse, but it's not like it is here in Florida. It's not like it is
in North Carolina and Alabama and Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different thing. And aside from the big schools, the Penn States, the Ohio States, Michigan, there's all these other schools that do Division I football, even though, you know, some of it might be FCS schools. But I'm learning, FBS, FES schools, whatever. But I've learned about so many different places that have college football that I never even knew existed.
South Dakota State Jackrabbits. You got to learn all the mascot names, everything too.
The Humboldt State Lumberjacks.
Sure, why not?
No idea.
Between that and minor league baseball, Those are the best nicknames. They're like smaller colleges and minor league baseball teams.
Well, I've known minor league baseball. I will say that. I've known where most of those teams are, but I've even picked up some different areas that were surprising to me, like learned some of the Midwest League teams. They have a team there?
Yeah.
Really? In the middle of...
You're like, I didn't even know that. You know, what do they got there?
The names are one of my favorites, and it's not really that creative, but the Chattanooga Lookout, simply because of their logo.
Sure.
I think if you have no idea what we're talking about, look at the Chattanooga Lookout's logo. It's, I don't know why I think it's great. I think that's one of the best logos in sports.
Yeah. So you've actually been calling a little bit of sports too, not just doing the updates.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell everybody what you've been calling.
So I got a call over the summer to go and do something called the National Pro Grid League.
Sure.
The NPGL. The website's npgl.com. And when I got the call about it, the first question was, are you familiar with the NPGL? And my answer was, I'm familiar with it in that I've heard of it. If you've ever seen it, or you may have seen it and not known that you've seen it, essentially, and they're going to hate me for saying this, it's essentially like Team CrossFit. That's the easiest way to describe it to just somebody who's never seen it before. They look at it and they say, oh, it's kind of like CrossFit. It is, but it isn't. It takes the elements of CrossFit. And what it is, it's two co-ed teams. There's 11 races within a match, and there are different body weight races, weightlifting races, different things. One of the elements that they have to do in one of the races, they do a handstand walk the length of the grid, which is about the size of a basketball court, and it's who can do it the fastest. I think like 8 seconds or something like that. Imagine that.
That's going to be crazy calling the action for that, doing play-by-play for somebody doing a handstand race.
A handstand walk or handstand push-ups into backward roll to support on the rings to one of the things they have is it's called the flipper. It's this evil-looking thing that's about the size of a refrigerator, and essentially you have to flip it over. End over end, 600 pounds or something ridiculous like that.
Is it going to flip? Is it going to flip? Oh,
well,
flip!
Well, where the excitement comes in, though, is that, so it's team racing.
Yeah.
And you have, kind of like hockey, where you have substitutions in and out. You can tag in and out as the race is going on. And it's really the only team sport where you have males and females on the same team that are sometimes competing against each other. So that's kind of a neat element. When you watch it for the first time, it seems kind of chaotic. You're like, I'm not really sure what's going on. When you start to understand the strategy that's in, because there is a lot of strategy. We joke all the time that instead of sabermetrics, they use grid metrics, because they have everything timed out with these races. They know the elements of the race. They know who they want to do each element, and then it's who can go out there and execute. And if somebody, say, doesn't execute, then they have to change on the fly, and they have to adjust on the fly. So there's a lot of strategy.
There's a lot of craziness going on with it.
It's a lot of chaos. It's a lot of fun. NPGL.com is the website. If you have beIN Sports, there's a lot of soccer on beIN Sports, but you can watch it on beIN Sports, some of the Comcast regional sports networks. So Root Sports, Houston has it, for instance.
Sure.
CSN Philly has it. Any of the CSN affiliates around the country, beIN Sports, and then I'm missing one here. Not America One. One World Sports.
Okay.
One World Sports. They just got added to DirecTV. So you can check it out there. It's kind of fun once you get into it. I didn't call every match. I called, I think, I did the first 2 weeks, I believe. So I did like 6 matches or something, and then I did the conference finals. And another guy by the name of Jason Horowitz, who's done some stuff with CBS. He does football play-by-play. Good dude. He did the finals. So we kind of alternated on who was doing what. So I did the Western Conference and Eastern Conference final. But at any rate, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, definitely check it out.
And now you are making your much-heralded return behind the mic for professional wrestling.
Yeah, pro wrestling.
Yep. You're coming back.
I am coming back. Grid. That was fun. A lot of fun. Kind of got the wheels turning again. I've been kind of holding off on wrestling. Did I want to do it or did I not? It's weird the way this worked out, but I'm going to be doing Fest Wrestling. It's the Fest Wrestling Showcase in Gainesville, which so every year, the past 15 years or whatever, in Gainesville, this weekend, it's always the weekend of Florida when they play in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
When Florida State plays in Jacksonville, because basically Gainesville's wide open. So they do this three-day punk rock, indie rock, hardcore fest that's simply called the Fest Gainesville. Tons of bands come in. There's going to be some really good bands there this year, like Braid's playing. I'm really excited to finally get to see Braid, Lemuria, Sam I Am's.
You're
going to
be down there in the pit, right?
I'm not going to be in the pit. That's in my younger years, maybe. But no, I can't handle that anymore. But I'll be singing along. You know, if I can get up front for some of the bands and sing along without having to worry about people stage diving on me, I'll probably do it.
But you get to do play-by-play unfettered.
So on Sunday the 30th is the Fest Wrestling Showcase. Colt Cabana is going to be there. The Fest Wrestling Championship is up for grabs. Heidi Lovelace. A lot of the big names on the indie circuit.
A.R. Fox is going to be there. Martin Stone, Sue Young, Mr. 450, some others are going to be there. That's going to be cool, man.
Battle Royal for the, I believe, the PBR Wildman Cup.
Sure.
Is going to be up for grabs. There's a
PBR Wildman Cup.
PBR Wildman Cup. There's, what's the Lucha group out of Tampa? They do, I can't think of the name now. It's, I probably have it on my phone. But there's a Lucha Fatal 4-Way.
Okay.
I know Lince Dorado is supposed to take part, although because of his WWE stuff, I'm not sure.
It just depends on when he signed the contract.
Yeah, it depends. But as of right now, he's scheduled to take part. So it's going to be fun. And you're right. It's unfettered play-by. I get to go and just call a wrestling match.
Right.
Or several wrestling matches without having, you know, without anybody screaming at you, without.
Just go out there, call the action, call what you see in front of you. And
it's going to be fun, which is I didn't have fun for a while.
I heard about that somewhere online.
I was quoted as saying working at WWE has a way of making you forget wrestling is supposed to be fun. And that's not to knock WWE. That's not me burying WWE. It's just it's a job. When you work there, you're working. It's like anything else where sometimes it's work. It's your job. So it's not a complete stab or a complete, you know, burying of WWE, but facts be facts. It's not always a lot of fun working there.
Sure.
For a lot of different reasons. There was a lot of fun stuff, met a lot of good people, saw a lot of good places, but there's a lot of times it's just not fun, which I'm sure any job is like that.
Sure. I think there's times where you just gets caught up in the machine.
You do get caught up in the grind of it and in the machine. You also have to be willing as a performer. You have to be willing to take a certain amount of crap. Keep it clean, right? As a PC, right? A family show, but as an announcer, especially, you have to be willing to just eat an enormous amount of crap.
But how do you compare the two? Because now you've called. And you've done this before. So let's talk about the most recent stuff you've done. So you're talking about doing play-by-play for a sport recently.
Sure.
And then compare that to WWE. How much are you being produced in the sport compared to how much you were when you called wrestling?
Less. There are similarities. For anybody that thinks that if they watch a football game or a hockey game or a baseball game, that they think that it's this... with wrestling, Vince McMahon screaming at them in their headset. That's not like that in other places. It is like that in other places. There's people in your ear that are telling you, go to break, go to, you know, we've got this package coming up. Oh, this graphic got scrapped, so we're going to do this graphic instead.
Yeah.
They're giving you the traffic. That doesn't change. When you're the play-by-play guy, you're the traffic cop. So you're getting that. What I will say is that doing WWE, especially doing WWE live, can be very, very chaotic, and things change by the second. So what you prepared for at 4 o'clock may not be what happens at 7 o'clock. And there are plenty of times where we would get a rundown, the first rundown, and then you get a second rundown an hour later, which is completely different from the first rundown. And by the time you get that, honestly, fifth or sixth rundown at times,
how do you prepare for that? It becomes very difficult when you prepare for a certain graphic or a certain package, and now all of a sudden, on the latest update that you get 10 minutes before you go out to the desk, all that's completely different. So that's challenging, and it takes a very skilled person to be able to do it. That's why Cole has had his job for as long as he has. He's terrific at it and is great at reacting on the fly like that. I felt like I was getting there, but it's a skill that has to be worked on, acquired, and honed, because to be able to go out there and just do that is a very, very difficult thing.
Do you think that the limited amount of time you had in WWE and doing what you did, especially when it came to your play-by-play duties, do you think that's made you a better announcer since working at WWE?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Just from a traffic standpoint in and of itself, because you probably know this. Coming from radio, things are a lot looser.
Yeah.
There's traffic in radio, but it's a lot looser. It's a lot looser. TV is not as loose. And I, quite frankly, I never really had a ton of experience in TV. I did some TV news, which, if you've done a sports cast, I mean, that's not that it's not that difficult to do. You write your sports cast, you go out there,
you read your teleprompter, you throw it to the package.
Exactly. WWE is a different thing where a lot of the stuff you have to just react. So before WWE, I had never really done, I did hockey on TV, but again, it's stuff that's very linear and very easy to, you know, what's coming next, you know, where you're going. So long story, you know, long answer to an easy question. I'm definitely a much better TV announcer, TV presenter since WWE for sure.
It's funny because, like, at a lot of jobs, but especially when it comes to something like WWE and wrestling, I think when you step away from there, there is just this natural thing that you don't want to watch, you don't want to follow, you don't want to be around it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens with wrestlers, it happens with announcers. I mean, look at Steve Austin. He said he couldn't watch it for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, for some people, not everybody, but for most people, there's like a thawing out. Maybe you're interested in watching again or, you know, doing something, whether it's not directly involved with WWE or not. Now you're going to be calling this one wrestling show. Do you find yourself, or do you think, especially after you call this one wrestling show, that maybe you're going to have interest in doing more wrestling going forward?
I think even last time we talked, I had said that if there were other opportunities in wrestling, that's not something that I was turning down necessarily.
Sure.
It would have to, obviously there would have to be interest for somebody to bring me in, number one. But as far as my interest in it, I'm open to anything. And I said it before, if Ring of Honor called me tomorrow and said, hey, we'd like you to come and call some matches, I'd go. If TNA called me and said, hey, we'd like you to come and call some matches, I'd probably go and do it.
That's the one I was going to bring up, because what if Billy Corgan buys TNA and says, you know what, nothing against you, Josh, but this is my vision of the company. I want to do things a little bit different. I want to make some changes. One of them is going to be an announcer. So we are going to bring in Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Would you'd entertain that call?
I would, for sure I would. Why not? Why wouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Especially if they're able to kind of reboot in a way that makes sense, which I really hope that they do. They've done some interesting stuff. I've kept up with wrestling.
Sure.
From just the news sites and stuff, just kind of keeping up, because I still have friends that work at WWE. I have some friends that work at TNA. I'm legitimately curious to see how some of them are doing. Like, I'm excited to see Kevin Owens doing well. I was excited to see that he won the title. Excited to see Bayley get her opportunity on Raw. You know, a lot of different people that are doing well, that legit, I'm excited for them. I'm happy to see Mojo Rawley getting a chance with Zack Ryder. I don't know if he's on Raw or SmackDown, but I know he's up on
he's on SmackDown.
Roster. He's on SmackDown. Mojo's he's a great guy. I love Mojo. He's a really, really good dude. So from that regard, there's that interest to see, oh, well, what are they doing with whoever. So there's some interest that's there, keeping up with the news and different things. But, you know, like, as far as TNA goes, you know, the two, we Dusty used to call them the Frenchies, Frenchie 1 and Frenchie 2.
Yeah.
You know, Sylvester LaFour and It was Marcus Louis.
I don't know what names. I apologize. I can't remember their new names in TNA.
Tom LaRuffa and Michael Vierge, I believe, is how you say Marcus's.
If you say so.
Whatever. Point is, I'm excited for them, so I do keep up with it in that regard. But TNA, specifically, we've seen over the years, it's gone from being really cool and really exciting to just god-awful storytelling and god-awful production. I used to call it WCW 3.0 in a lot of ways.
Not even 2.0.
Because if you look at the way the show looked, it had that very WCW, like, overproduced, neon-y kind of just, like, really overproduced feel to it.
Sure. Which
I couldn't stand it. So, but to see them get a reboot and hopefully, with any luck, for my taste, I like action. I like old school. And I'm not one of these old, it's got to be wrestling. There's going to be whatever.
Better back in my day. Right.
But I like believable stuff. I don't mind some storytelling stuff. And
right.
So some goofy
stuff.
What
do you think
of
the Matt Hardy compound stuff?
It's drawn eyes, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's not really my cup. Like I'll say this. I tried watching Lucha Underground.
Sure.
I can't watch it. Maybe I haven't given it enough of a chance, but it's got that very tight, overproduced.
Right.
And I know that it's not a wrestling show. It's a TV show about a wrestling show.
Right. And that's my biggest thing with Lucha Underground, because I know that there's just a swelling for them, and I think it's a smaller swelling, but it's a very boisterous minority.
Right.
And for people that like it, that is great. And that's great that they're around, they're giving guys work, and mm-hmm. they're trying to do something different. I give them all the credit in the world for that. My biggest problem that I have with Lucha Underground, I can't keep up with the storylines half the time, because there's so many different things that are going on. And just their stories are so elaborate
yeah.
in many cases, and that's fine. Maybe I'm just stupid, and that's fine. I like the simpler stuff. You know, that's fine. I don't mind having some twists and turns and whatnot, and I like to see some good action. But there's just so many different things going on. It's like, oh, yeah, do you remember now that we're in season four? Do you remember in the fourth episode of season one where they kind of teased to this? And I'm like, I don't remember that.
For me... We all know it's a work. We know that. But I guess I'm kind of cornettish in a way that I still want there to be believability. I still want it to. That's how I grew up watching it.
Yeah.
Always knowing it wasn't on the level. Always knowing something wasn't quite right. But there was still something kind of believable, especially Crockett. And we were talking about this before.
I love
before
Crockett.
We started
I grew up on Crockett.
I was watching the only wrestling I've really, really watched at any length. And I've watched a couple of shows. Were some old worldwide wrestling from the Crockett era, 86, 87. One of the matches in particular that I watched was Garvin winning the title from Flair inside the cage in Detroit. And we were talking about this before we started. Some of the psychology that goes into that match, just little things, little nuanced things that you don't necessarily see people do anymore. You don't
right.
really see in matches anymore. One of the things being Flair setting up Garvin, he goes for the... basically atomic, there's probably a name for it, but gives him the atomic drop on the shin bone.
Yeah.
And then goes right into the figure four. And then as Tommy Young is seeing if Garvin wants to submit, Flair's grabbing onto the body, you know, he's grabbing onto the second rope for leverage. And little things like that.
The crowd used to go crazy about that. Because you had a real
nuts.
Heel.
Yep.
People would get emotionally invested. And that will always go to my argument that when people talk about, you know, baby faces and heels and... I'll say this again. I said it a couple of times. So when was it? Earlier this year, it was at WrestleMania. So John Cena sat down with a bunch of people in the media, right? This one event that they had. And somebody was asking about that, like the reaction that Roman got and how he's getting booed. Mm-hmm. And you're like that. And he goes, you guys don't get it. And he said, you guys don't get it. He goes, we're past that age. He goes, all that matters is you get a reaction. And I will agree from that standpoint. That's great that Roman and John and other guys get a reaction. But I will still believe that it's better when you have good guys and bad guys. And I know we're in a different day and age where it's cool to root for the bad guys mm-hmm. in some instances, but there definitely can be times where if you do it right, you can be a heel in this day and age. It has to be different. It has to be nuanced, but you can do it.
Kevin Owens is a heel.
He is. I mean, he's still, there's still people that like him. I mean, Jericho is a heel right now, yeah, but he's doing something that people are catching on. So they will turn him.
Well, listen, as deplorable as the Four Horsemen were
right
back in the day, there are places that they would go where they would get cheers. I mean,
oh, come on. look at the old studio in Atlanta. People would show up wearing tuxes in the front row.
They had to turn. They had to turn Flair babyface eventually because of the reactions he
you
was getting.
Can do it. You just have to work a little harder. Look at, and I'll give this example too. Look at what Matt Hardy did when he first started doing the broken Matt Hardy character. Even before that, go to Money Matt Hardy. He was a heel. He made it work. He was doing cool stuff. He was even going online. He was a heel. He did broken Matt Hardy, and people are like, what in the hell is this? What the hell is going on? And you look at what he did, and that he did everything as a heel. Social media was in character.
Yep.
Everything. Interviews. He wasn't even doing interviews then. I'll give a little behind the scenes. I was supposed to interview Matt Hardy. We had this set up.
And he blew you off.
No. Oh. He was ready to do it. I told him no, because at the time he was going to be all heel. And I was warned.
Look at you living the gimmick for him.
I am going to be in character. And it's not like it is now where he's in character and it's kind of cool because it's fun. He does interviews. But we had set this up even before the heel turn. And he goes, I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to be in character. I'm probably going to be rude. I'm going to be heel. And I said, you know what? Because you're just doing this now, let's not do it. I understand where you're going with the character. Good for you. Let's see how it works. We will postpone this and we will do it sometime right in the future. And I commend him for that. You know, it's tough, especially with social media. And you've got this thing where you want people to follow you and to be popular and have engage with the audience. But then at the same time, if you're trying to be a heel, it's extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely difficult to be able to do that. And I give him a lot of credit for at least trying. I mean, you can be a heel in this day and age. I just think you have to work at it a little bit harder. Things have to be done. And if you can do it, I just think the emotional attachment that goes with that and also being a babyface in return will pay bigger dividends down the line.
Well, I think one of the big things for me with wrestling that I see now is that there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall. And there's a lot of kind of wink, 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 nod, nod.
Sure.
Yeah, this is fake, and we know you know it's fake. And I hate the word fake because
right,
we know people get
it's
hurt.
Scripted, yeah.
I'm just using that for sake of ease. But, you know, one of the things that I really don't like is being reminded all the time that it's a show. Perfect example, you watch a WWE show, a guy's doing an interview or a promo backstage, and they do that cutaway shot with the jib camera out in the arena with all the people watching on the screen what's going on back there. When was the last time you went to a movie and you're watching a movie and all of a sudden as this movie's going on, there's a jib shot of you sitting in the theater and everybody's watching the theater. By the way, this thing that you've just invested an hour into and emotionally getting into. Look, movies still make people cry, right?
Yes.
Movies still get people upset. They get the mad. You get people shooting at the screen.
I still get upset when Drago killed Apollo, okay? I do. I get upset.
So point is, entertainment can still do that.
Yeah.
Okay? But when you remind them, you don't watch Chicago Fire, for instance, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, I can't watch that show anyway, but
well,
yeah.
I know. point is, somebody's running into a burning building.
Yeah.
They don't pull back wide and show you the set. No, by the way, they're not really running into.
Sure. The worst thing, though, is when they do the backstage interview and they do something where somebody says, hey, don't tell so-and-so, but I plan on doing this. Whatever. It's like, you're on the freaking show, man. You're on camera.
It's on the big screen.
It's just like,
yeah,
what the hell is going on, man? We can see everything. It's just like, turn on your TV and that dude can see it, man. Yeah, this is, you know, when it comes to the Hardy stuff, though, I will say this. It's not traditional. It's not what I grew up, you know, really enjoying. But it's so different in that I do like it. The only thing that I worry about is, since it's been successful in doing overkill, and we're starting to see a little bit of that. I mean, they've made it work so far, and they've come up with different ways of keeping it creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder when that point is going to come, because when you hit that tipping point, it's not going to be like a gradual thing. It's going to be like an off the cliff thing. I mean, they've already talked about, so there's an upcoming edition of Impact. It's not going to be for like another couple of months. The entire 2 hours is going to be at the compound.
Oh, no.
Yes. They're inviting tag teams from around the world to take part in Apocalypto.
Well, see, that's kind of interesting in a way, though.
Right.
Although...
they have invited the wrestlers that enjoy rock and roll and the era of the Bucks of the young age or something, you know. So, they've done this a bunch of different tag teams, and who knows who's actually going to show up. But I guess they're trying to put together and see which wrestlers they can get, which tag teams they can get for this big whatever the hell they're going to do over there.
The thing that scares me maybe with that is... you got to go back 30 years, but for some reason I'm envisioning a pink room with a turkey on a pole and Jake Milliman running out from the back. Because remember, we have to tape the show because there's too much going on and we can't have outside interference, so we're going to do it in this room with no fans here.
Sure, why not?
We're talking about the AWA.
You know what the thing is going to be? So they're going to do an entire 2-hour show where there will be no play-by-play, none.
That's interesting.
Because, I mean, that's the way these Hardy show matches have gone. There has been no play-by-play. And it's just going to be whatever. I mean, who knows? Maybe Matt Hardy in character is going to be calling the action.
Right.
I don't know.
Don't you kind of... It's another thing for wrestling. Don't you need somebody to narrate for you and to give you the context of what's going on?
You do. I think there's a way where Matt can like set it up in characters, like this is what we're going to do now, and they do it, you know. And instead of calling the play by play, it's just you see what's going on. I mean, because it is so wild and so different and just craziness that's going on. Who knows? Maybe they'll have somebody there like a carnival barker doing it.
That would be interesting.
I mean, go get Jim Mitchell. He's still here in town. Go get him, man. Why not? Go get the Sinister Minister.
Maybe they'll have Senor Benjamin do play-by-play.
Oh, Senor Ben... Well,
you know who Senor Benjamin is, right?
Yeah, that's Reppy's dad.
Yeah.
That's Matt's father-in-law.
It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
I didn't know that. I was talking to... I actually talked to Joey Styles a couple weeks ago. And
yeah.
Call him up and haven't talked to him in a while. And he was telling me that he did some indie shows and stuff. He was having a blast.
Yeah.
And he mentioned he did a show with Matt Hardy and Senor Benjamin and this whole thing. And he mentioned that's his father-in-law. I was like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I think it's so awesome that Senor Benjamin is in... He's got this central role in whole thing that's going on, but it's his father-in-law.
He gave King Maxwell a xylophone. Come on, man. For a gift. Dude, I'll totally throw him under the bus. Kevin Eck, when I talked to him just a couple weeks ago, he goes, I didn't even know that until recently because he interviewed Matt at some show up in Northeast.
Maybe it was the one that Joey was at.
Maybe, or maybe it was like Maryland Championship. I don't know what it was. It's not even Maryland Championship Wrestling anymore. It's MCW Pro Wrestling. But, at one of those shows, and he didn't realize it, but you know that's awesome. That was his father-in-law. Have you seen the Senior Benjamin T-shirt that's for sale?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you've got to see the T-shirt. It's so they sell it. What is it on? I'll find it. So, but Matt's got a bunch of different T-shirts for sale, and he's got the Senior Benjamin. What is it? Lawn and Gardening Services T-shirt or whatever it is, which I really need to find.
That's so awesome.
It's unbelievable, man. I gotta look this up while we're doing this. But it literally says preparing the battlefield for, you know, what did Matt say in that one promo?
I don't know. I've seen bits and pieces.
I
watched the whole thing.
Oh, and by the way, on the Apocalypto show,
uh-huh.
King Maxwell is going to be making his debut.
Oh,
yes. I got to find the...
Right, so while you're looking for this, I'm going to plug Fest Wrestling again.
Yeah, plug it again.
It is the Fest Gainesville, October the 30th. It's a Sunday at Cowboys. And if you're an indie rock fan, punk rock fan, tons of awesome bands playing. Lemuria is playing the show. Braid's going to be there. Dillinger 4. Sam I Am's playing. Knapsack. Bunch of hardcore bands and punk bands. And on Sunday the 30th at... I believe it's 4:30, the second ever Fest Wrestling Showcase. The first show that they did was about a month ago, September the 4th. They had some interesting folks there, lots of fun. But this is the almost kind of the coming out party for Fest Wrestling. Tony Weinbender's the promoter.
Okay.
He wants to do wrestling every other month, and he's a fan. He's a he runs the Fest, so he's got a very DIY punk ethic about him. If you know anything about Gainesville and the scene that came out of Gainesville in the 90s, a lot of great bands came out of there. Hot Water Music being one of them. A bunch of Small Brown Bike, I believe, is a Gainesville band as well. But
you're all over these punk bands, man.
Yeah, less than Jake is a Gainesville band as well. So anyway, Tony used to work for a label in Gainesville. He's been doing this Fest for years, similar to in some ways to like South by Southwest, CMJ, which I don't even know if they still do CMJ anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
South by Southwest is probably the one that everybody knows.
Right.
But long story short, he's a wrestling fan. He wants to provide not only a fun show for the fans, but a quality, fun spot for the competitors, for the wrestlers to come and provide that opportunity for them in that region of Florida. Because I don't know that there's too many wrestling events that go on up there. NXT,
there's not.
NXT makes it, you know, once a month or once every 2 months.
Yeah, I think NXT goes there once every couple months, you know. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff that they do, what is it? Like, they come to Orlando, they'll go to, like, Arcadia, they go to Largo, they go to, you know, Fort whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, they go to Fort Pierce. You know, so they're all over Florida. But even those now might not feature some of the big names in NXT. Right. It might be some of
the... they split the roster.
Yeah,
you know. We could do a whole other podcast on developmental. And
oh, yeah.
What they're doing.
Yeah. We should. By the way, here's the t-shirt.
So hold on. Wait a minute.
Senior Benjamin Landscaping Company, Lawn Landscaping Battlefield Preparation for Massacre, Cameron, North Carolina.
And it's green. It's a green t-shirt.
Which, yeah.
That's actually a really cool shirt.
It's a nice t-shirt.
It almost reminds me of like a softball team shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know.
But Matt Hardy has a bunch of crazy shirts. But... that's Matt, man. I mean, that's just Madden's day and age. It's funny because when you talk about Fest Wrestling, there's so many different independent groups that are popping up mm-hmm. that are putting on good quality stuff. And I think that's just, I mean, we always hear about, you know, obviously we'll hear a lot about Ring of Honor. We hear about Chikara. We hear about Evolve. PWG has really taken off. And they're just like, I know everybody wants to bastardize us and take advantage of us, but this is who we are, and we are not changing whatsoever. And just to look at the amount of talent that's out there right now, that's around the world in all the different places. Now they've been talking about like all the different, I guess you can call them indie groups over in Europe, which have really, you know, taken
off. They've taken off in the last couple of years,
haven't they? Yeah, look at the UK, you know, look at Scotland, I mean, I know Drew Galloway. I mean, that guy is literally traveling the world. And he's staying busy everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you look at the amount of shows. Zack Sabre Jr. has done the same exact thing. It's just amazing to see the number of talent that's out there in all the different places now that can actually have really good shows.
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do in Gainesville. I told Tony that whatever I can do to help grow Fest Wrestling every other month is so they don't want to overdo it. It'll be a show every other month. But you're right. Just in general, even in Florida in particular, has a lot of independent wrestling. I just went to my first indie show, the first wrestling show since I left WWE in Orlando about a week ago. Full Impact Pro.
Okay.
Had a show, so I went and I checked that out, and it was fun. I actually had a good time.
And that's the great thing. You go to an independent show, and sometimes it all gets stripped down.
Yeah.
And you know why you became a fan? You just want to have some fun. You see guys working really hard out there trying to, you know, interact with the crowd. Plus, the crowd's so close. There's so many dumb, screwy things that we can do, as long as somebody doesn't take it too far. But just the interaction that you can have with an audience when there really, you know, isn't much of a barricade. There isn't really much of a separation.
Nah, it's you're right up close. You're right there. There was some really incredibly talented people on that Full Impact show that I went to. I remember when I walked in, I think the second match was going on. Martin Stone, who we've seen in NXT a number of times. It was Danny Burch in NXT. He was in the ring. I saw a match. Got to see AR Fox, who was interesting. I enjoyed his work. Ricky Starks is a young kid who's I know from Texas, who's really grown a lot in the past couple of years. He's been an extra a handful of times on WWE. I think he got squashed by Ryback on Raw once. But he's been around. He's really doing a lot of cool stuff. Aaron Solo is doing some neat stuff. So it was interesting just to kind of go, not without any, just to go to it as a fan,
and to kind of take it in and just watch and get into it without having to work, without having to do anything. And I knew that would kind of be like the litmus test when I'd go, because I knew eventually I'd go to an indie show, and it's like, okay, did I enjoy it? Will I enjoy it? And I did. So now when I do this Fest show, I'm going to go and call a show, and it's not going to be online or anything. The matches will be on YouTube eventually, just as a promotional vehicle for the bi-monthly shows that they're doing. But that's almost another litmus test. It's like, okay, am I enjoying this? Am I having fun with this? I think I will. Who knows?
We'll find out, you know, and the good thing is, it sounds like you might have a wrestling gig every other month.
Yeah, and when I got into this stuff in the first place, it was never about making WWE. It was never about getting here. There was never in my wildest dreams that I ever think that WWE was even in the realm of possibility.
Because you were just doing stuff for Booker T's group, right?
I was working for Reality Wrestling, and that was it. I was cool with that. I NWA Houston, I was a ring announcer, ended up working with Book Show. That was what I did. I had my day job. That's a whole other story, but I had my day gig. Doing Booker Show was what I looked forward to. We'd work on the show. And again, it was once a month, but we did weekly. I call it weekly TV on YouTube. Eventually, we started doing weekly TV when I was there. But there was always stuff to do, so we'd be at the gym, at the training center, working on stuff, working on different promos, working on editing the show or whatever. So it was a month-long thing, even though we only taped or did a live show once a month. But it was fun, and that's what I looked forward to. Had I never gotten to WWE, I would probably still be living in Houston, and I'd probably still be working with Book Show because it was fun and because I enjoyed it.
So when it comes to WWE, I don't know how much you're watching.
I'm not.
Okay, you're not. But you're following.
Following.
You're keeping up.
To an extent, following.
Is there anything in particular that stands out to you right now?
Oh, man. Let's see.
You're jacked about Goldberg coming back.
I don't get it. I really don't. I really don't. And that's not, I don't know Goldberg. I don't know it. I just don't get this whole thing. It's a new era. We're pushing. It's new. So what they can, and I get it too, from a business perspective, but they constantly reach in the back of the closet and they say, well, who haven't we dragged out in a while? And I get it. It's about selling tickets. I get that people are going to be geeked about hearing Goldberg's music and whatever, but you're pushing this whole thing where you do a brand split and it's a new era. Everything's new. We have all this young talent. Why are you going getting the guy who's been retired for 12 years and bringing him? For me, does anybody really believe that Goldberg can beat Brock Lesnar?
Here's the thing that I look at. More so than ever before, it's a star-driven universe, whether it's WWE, whether it's the NFL, whatever you want to talk about when it comes to sports and when it comes to entertainment. It's all about stars. And this goes to show that WWE still has some work to do in making stars among its talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got a lot of talented guys. I mean, a lot, and women as well. But there is something about the myth of Goldberg from years ago. And that's the reason why we talk about even the last couple of years when Sting came in there. I mean, because they're bigger than life guys.
Yeah.
And it's always one of these things where if somebody is removed for a long time, like their star power grows even more.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, it's all about big events. That we're a big event society right now. More so than people are going to watch the Super Bowl. Do they watch some of the other stuff? Maybe not, but you're always going to tune in for the Super Bowl. When it comes to UFC, you don't watch them all, but you watch the big ones. You watch the one that Conor McGregor is on. You're going to watch 200 because it's 200. You know, we're making a big deal of it. You know, 205 is going to have Conor McGregor on, plus it's going to be from Madison Square Garden. So you probably don't watch 202 or 203, but you're going to watch 205. You're going to watch the big event. That's the same thing with all these things, man. It's a big event society. It's driven because you make it into a big event because of the stars that you put on those shows. So whatever show they're going to make this match for, it sounds like it's going to be Survivor Series,
right?
Which is crazy. It's going to be that soon, but you know, they want to make Survivor Series into something. And that's going to be Brock Lesnar against Goldberg. I agree. Lesnar has to win that match. There's just no way Goldberg wins that match. I mean, unless they do a rematch, which I don't like that idea of, hey, have a guy lose just to bring it back later. I think Goldberg could be in for a couple of matches. I don't think this is necessarily a one-off. I could see him maybe at the Rumble. I could see him at WrestleMania.
If he comes in, if he signs a multiple match deal or whatever, then you could see something almost like what happened at SummerSlam last year, where you have something screwy happen, where there's a disputed finish or a guy
maybe
whatever it is, Lesnar loses somehow, but he doesn't really lose. So.
You can also do the same thing with Goldberg, where they do this no holds barred match,
right?
So you've got some bells and whistles. He does, they take each other to the limit, but Lesnar wins. People are all jacked about Goldberg, and you could do kind of the Lesnar deal with him from a standpoint of you only use him a couple of times, use him on the biggest shows, you protect him. He's not there every week. He's only there for a couple weeks at a time to promote his matches on TV or whatever. Then he does one or two other matches.
Is he still doing other TV, Goldberg?
I don't know.
He was doing stuff on like CMT or something.
He was doing, what was it, Garage Mahal? That was on one of the channels. And then he was doing another car show somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
Interesting.
Other than he's training in Muay Thai 5 days a week, as he recently told me, as he almost got mad at me.
Really?
Yeah, because he was at the 2K event.
Oh, okay.
So I interviewed him there, and I said, do you miss the physicality of being in the wrestling ring? And he goes, I train Muay Thai 5 days a week, man. That's as physical as it's going to get. And I was like, yep.
He injured? Isn't that why he retired in the first place? Or did he just get out because...
He got tired of WWE. He had a bad experience for the year he was in WWE.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to move on to do other things. And then his knee has been, at least one of his knees, maybe both of them, he's had some surgery on him lately, but nothing like torn ACL. I think it's been more cleanup work.
And I guess it makes sense in some ways, where you've got a lot of that unresolved, I suppose, out of anything from WCW that's left, right?
Yeah.
He's the only
legitimate
thing that's still kind of like sort of unresolved.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways where there's still some legs to it, right?
Because they didn't use him right for the 1 year that they had him.
Right.
He
got caught up in that whole, let's piss on all the WCW guys.
He did, and just the politics of everything. I mean, remember he had the little face-to-face with Jericho backstage, and, it's a different world in WWE than when they were around in WCW. Remember, the thing that really killed Goldberg, character-wise, was when he did the backstage interaction with Goldust, and Goldust put his wig on him. He put the blonde wig on Goldberg, and it made him look like a goof. And that was it.
I don't even remember that.
That killed him, man. That killed the credibility. He was the champion, and then he lost it in a three-way here in Orlando to Triple H. It was Triple H, Kane, and Goldberg, and Triple H won that match.
Well, here's a question for you. Who do you get over? Like, who are you really get? I get selling stuff, and I get big event, getting eyes on the thing. Who are you really doing? Are you doing favors to the stars that you're trying to build?
That's right? The thing, because people are always saying, okay, you built Lesnar. You remember there was this back and forth with Lesnar about, you win a match, you would lose a match. Win a match, lose a match.
That's booking in general at WWE right now.
But everybody's like, hey, especially with him, you got to do something because he is here limited. It's a special attraction. And now they've done that. They had him be Taker to end the streak at Mania, and he's been winning since then. So what do you do? And that's, Lesnar's got to win the match because he's more of a regular guy than Goldberg. But where's the payoff even with Lesnar? Who is he going to have a big match with at a WrestleMania where you finally say, this is a younger guy, and he's going to lose? Because I am still of the belief it's going to be Roman Reigns. And I know it will piss plenty of people off because so many people just hate Roman. And people are going to say, oh, there they go. They're handing all to Roman again. They still believe in Roman. I do, too. It's a little bit tempered. I mean, I still think some things need to be tweaked. But Roman is a great talent. He really is. I could see a scenario, though, where they can say, we are going to change things up. And even though he's not a young guy necessarily, you could do the same thing and build up a feud between Lesnar and Kevin Owens. And because Owens, when he turns babyface, that's going to be a big deal. It's going to be a really big deal because he's like the everyman's man. Yep. He's the guy that's just sitting at home, after a long day's work, and he's throwing back a drink. And just, he's not Steve Austin, but he can relate to people with his body size and the way he acts and everything like that.
Everything Kevin does is believable. Or I shouldn't say everything he does, but everything that I've seen, all my interactions with him.
He's an average everyday guy.
As a performer, fantastic talker. And I took the brunt of a lot of that stuff. That was part of the fun of that. We had a blast. I told you before, Kevin and I get along. I've actually chatted back and forth with him here and there. And when he won the title, I sent him a note. We chatted a little bit. Anybody who says he's not a star, you hear some of these other guys who come out like, well, you big fat guy and blah, 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 blah. There's stuff that guy can do stuff that just instinctively comes to him. Stuff that other guys in the, they don't get. It's, there's that level that's there and you can't teach it. Some of the stuff, Kevin has it. You ask, what is it? Kevin has that it factor. Yeah, he looks like.
I love that you say that because I know you're not watching it right now. You know that's something that they're actually doing with him and Jericho?
What?
The it.
Oh, are you kidding?
No, because they do this whole thing where they go, you know, or else you're going to get. And they're like, get what? You're going to get it.
Oh, God.
It.
Are you serious?
Yes, and Jericho so does funny. The whole it.
That's really
funny. He points
funny.
At you, and he does a scowl on his face, and Kevin's right there with him, because Jericho and Kevin are now best buddies.
Oh, okay. All right.
You don't even know about the list of Jericho.
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Jericho's doing some fantastic. So they're like a buddy duo now, and Jericho literally is walking around.
Let me guess. So let's put the two Canadian guys together.
Right? Basically, yeah. So they have a – so they're best friends. They're always touting about how they're best buddies, and Jericho literally is walking around with a clipboard. And on the back side of it, where we can all see it, says the list of Jericho.
Oh,
so Jericho walks around, and if he gets mad at you, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? That's it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm putting you on the list.
Oh,
so he'll
put
you on the list. And I am convinced that when the day comes, and they've already started teasing some stuff about this. Now, I don't know if that's very early or if it's because Jericho's going to be taking time off or whatnot. But they've already done a couple little teases that there could be a breakup in the works or whatever down the line. But I am convinced when the day comes that Kevin is going to do something and Chris is going to put him on the list.
Mm.
That will not only break up the team, but that will really put the wheels in motion of making Kevin Owens a monster babyface.
You think so?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Dude, the list of Jericho is ridiculous, man.
That's funny.
And it's great. It goes back to the whole thing about the simple stuff that works.
Yeah.
And this is a simple thing. Now, mind you, you're supposed to be a heel, but... has gotten over huge.
I just find, just to repeat it again, I just find Kevin very believable.
Yeah.
Everything he does is very natural, and it's very believable. And you can, he doesn't look like a star. He doesn't. Did Dusty Rhodes look like a star?
No.
No, but he connected with people, and it was believable, and it was, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of my thinking. That's maybe not everybody's cup of tea. I think Kevin's one of the best performers that they have.
I do too, and I think that he is, him and AJ Styles in particular have really exceeded expectations. I think everybody knew that they were talented,
right?
But just to see the amount of talent and how quickly they have gotten over with the audience, Kevin Owens did it so quickly that he was only in NXT for 10 months, mm-hmm. and they put him up in the main roster immediately in a spot with John Cena.
Beat Cena, right?
AJ Styles comes in and he got that reaction at the Royal Rumble.
Is AJ? I know when he first got there, talking is wasn't really his
promos
strong
have
point.
Been really really good.
Have they?
I think what changed for him to me was when he went to New Japan for those 2 years. The level of confidence that he got, because the first night that he was in there, he won the championship. So he wins, the IWGP championship. They put him in the Bullet Club. He gets to speak. He gets to be himself. He gets to be around guys that he likes and is having fun with, and Gallows and Anderson. And I think it takes him to another level when it comes to his promos. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that now. Even now where in New Japan, obviously, it's not going to be scripted like it is in WWE. But he's been an incredible talker.
Well, I know when he first came in, I did a few interviews with him, and he was... still kind of feeling his way around and was maybe a little bit uneasy. Obviously, what he does in the ring, he's incredible. In the ring,
right.
Right. I was just curious if...
No, I mean, like Cena's, you're talking about a different level when you talk about like a Kevin Owens or John Cena.
Right.
But AJ more than holds his own. He's had some back and forth with Cena recently and with Dean Ambrose.
Mm.
And He does fine.
So is the answer then, let me ask you this, is the answer for Roman Reigns the old standby, which is what everybody says, give him a friggin' manager?
Give him a manager and or turn him heel.
Yeah.
I just don't know who the manager would be. And you've got to find that, because I think it's got to be a male. And I wouldn't put him with Heyman.
Yeah.
I think Paul has got to... I don't think Paul wants to work with anybody else. I talked to Paul, when was that, a couple of years ago, WrestleMania. Because it was when Brock redid his deal. And I said, could you ever see yourself working with someone else in the company that wasn't Brock Lesnar? He goes, no. And remember, they tried to do something with him and Cesaro. And that just didn't work. And he's at a point now where he's just like, I want to work with Brock. I don't want him to split us. When Brock leaves, I'll probably be right behind him.
Put him with Graves.
If they over wanted to take Graves off the announce table, which I think is going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's because, I mean, he's done such a good job. That'd be really tough. Mm-hmm. You know what the funny thing is I wonder about, and people are going to think this is totally ridiculous.
What?
If you want to put him with somebody as a heel manager, I wonder about Byron Saxton.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if you could do it, because people hate Byron.
I don't get that.
Byron is such
a
good dude.
I don't get it. He's a great guy.
But the thing is...
Awesome dude, and he's enthusiastic, and he loves it. He loves the business.
You know what the funny thing is? If you see... So we know Byron from being on TV, and I still think he's always... He's just now getting comfortable with doing the announcing from a standpoint of, you know, doing with Cole and doing it, you know, just finding his slot. I think it was tough for him with JBL, because JBL can... He can be a little bit overwhelming. I think he takes over a little bit too much.
Yep.
I think Byron's done a better job now with Corey. I think everybody kind of finds their lane.
Yeah.
But his spots are like so few and far in between. Plus, you know, there's a certain way they want him to say stuff and certain things they want him to do, where I don't think it's very genuine necessarily. But then you go to like an NXT event, or you go to a WWE house show. And I went to a house show that they had here in Orlando, a WWE one, a few months ago. And Byron was kind of like, you know, the leader of the ceremony, basically, you know, and he's the host of the night. And he's fantastic, and he's getting people involved, and he's enthusiastic, and he hits all the points. I mean, he's got it down. And I'm just like, Byron's a good talker. He's a good performer.
Byron and I did Superstars together for a year. We were teammates on, announced teammates on NXT. When Byron can be Byron.
Yeah.
He's great on Raw, when dealing with JBL can be difficult, because, and especially you put Cole and JBL together,
right?
He's just going to get shouted down,
right? And doesn't have to deal with that even.
Right. But part of that is the act, which is another thing. Part of that, now I don't know who that serves, because all it does is just make your third announcer irrelevant in the minds of people, right?
Yeah,
if you know. But, part of the thinking there is, well, you haven't done anything to prove yourself, so why is anybody going to believe you? I like to the way I think is a little bit differently. If you present me as being inferior, everybody's going to think I'm inferior.
Right.
If you present me as being, I don't want to say an equal, because you're not going to be equal to Cole and JBL or Jerry Lawler or whatever. I don't mean it like that.
Yeah.
But you're both sitting there at the desk. You should be presented with some inherent credibility. You don't turn on the football game on Fox on Saturday and see the third team. They don't tell you it's the third string announce team.
Right.
The color guy doesn't rip on the play-by-play guy if the play-by-play guy screws up a name or something.
In fact, he tries to cover for him. You try to make each other look good.
No, that's a whole other thing which I don't get the way WWE does things. I wanted to mention this, actually. I'm glad you brought it up. When you talk about Byron, and this goes back to a year and a half ago, the Raw after Mania, when Lesnar went nuts, killed the announce team.
The one where he went by himself. I was going to bring this up.
I remember reading, and it blows my mind reading some of this stuff. And to this, I just get a kick out of it. The stuff that the wrestling news people, the IWC, and I know it's the popular thing to rip on the IWC and whatever, but I just remember reading Vince McMahon reportedly furious with Byron Saxton for the job he did on Raw. Vince was the one who was telling him to pull back. Like, And the thing is, like,
it's funny because I talked to somebody else in the company, like, a week later or something. You know what? It wasn't even a week later. I think it was a day later, and they said something about Byron doing that. And I go, it looks like he's getting killed on Twitter. And he go, yeah, he blew it. And I was just like, oh man,
I was on headset that night.
Yeah,
and
mind you, this is probably somebody that. In fact, I guarantee did not have the access like you did being on headset and hearing Vince.
Byron was told to pull it back. Byron did exactly what Byron was told to do.
Right.
And
because there was these long pauses and whatnot.
Now to believe this, and this is a whole other level of psychology and just whatever, to believe that Byron was shoved out there by himself. And that whether he knew or didn't know that he was going to be out there by himself, to believe that there wasn't a plan, like people, oh, they had to send out Jerry Lawler to help out Byron. Don't you think Jerry knew he was going out there?
Right.
It's not like Brock Lesnar actually killed Michael Cole and...
To some people's chagrin, and JBL, they really wish he had.
JBL and Booker. So as a fan, where you know that this is entertainment,
yeah,
you would have to believe that Lesnar really went nuts... really hurt Cole, really hurt Booker and JBL, and that they just grabbed Byron, who was sitting in catering, and said, get out there, without any plan or any kind of whatever. You would have to believe that, which goes against the whole idea of the fact that we know it's all a work.
Right.
So Byron did exactly as Byron was. And I hate to see him get ripped on Twitter for this because I like him. He's one of the few people in that company that I actually trust. And I trust it. Call me crazy. Maybe I trusted too many people and didn't take out people's knees when I could have. It's not who I am. But Byron is somebody that I always felt that I could count on and that I could confide in. And I just want to back him up because I think the fans, whether or not you like him or not, I remember that one incident in particular really pissed me off because it's like he did what, and that's one of the reasons why he's been there as long. He does what they want him to do, and he does it well.
Yeah, and I've always... You know, in the limited amount that I know Byron, and I haven't talked to him. I think I ran into him a year or two ago. It was even before he got put on the SmackDown announcing team. Mm-hmm. And now he's on the Raw announce team, obviously. But when he was coming up to the Indies, I would run into him all the time. And that guy just worked so hard all the time and such a good dude. And, I was really happy to see him get this opportunity because I'd seen how hard he worked. I'd seen all the things that he had done. But, and just, you know, it was great seeing him, you know, and see somebody that really paid their dues finally get this opportunity and know how good he was.
Byron, the fact that he's been able to manage the politics of that place for as long as he has and to eat the amount of crap and, frankly, many times be treated as less than human because – a lot of times as an announcer, that's how, even as talent, you're treated.
We're going to make you look like a fool and you're just going to sit there and take it.
And not only on TV, but because that's part of it where you have to.
That's your persona everywhere then.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, and whether it's real or not, that's how a lot of people take it.
And there is a lot of that realness, the whole be a star stuff and anti-bullying. There's so much just hazing and bullying and just crap that, and it's not even. It's not physical like it used to be where they'd hold you down and shave you or they'd crap in your bag or
just
something.
Just mental?
There's a lot of that where people just, you know, just a lot of...
Mind games?
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it. And the fact that Byron has successfully navigated that, that's I don't know how he does it. It's a credit to him. He is, again, I'll back him up all day long. And I know it's a bit of a rant going off on this, but that just really pissed me off where... Oh, you know, he sucks, and he's, oh, blah, 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 blah. That night in particular on Raw, that's what he was told to do. Vince was telling him, pull back. And just in general, you're right. He's a guy that works his ass off, has worked extremely hard to get where he is. When he's allowed to be himself,
he's
a fantastic commentator. Yeah.
So aren't you happy that you're coming back to the wrestling business? All right.
I am. I really am. Independent wrestling is obviously it's where we all started, and it's a labor of love. It's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward October 30th. There's a lot of work that I have to do
prior to that, because even though I know a lot of the names who are going to be at this show at the fest, I've never seen a lot of them work, and I don't know a lot about them. So within the next couple of weeks, I've got, because I'm treating this as I'm not just showing up at an indie gig with a tape recorder. Like, I'm taking this seriously, but not too serious. I'm going to have fun with it, but I still want to. I want the commentary to be good, so when the stuff's up on YouTube, it's fun and it's it presents the product in the best light.
Sure.
So it's going to be fun. October 30th in Gainesville.
Yep, October 30th in Gainesville. The Fest Wrestling Championship will be up for grabs in the tournament. Colt Cabana is going to be there. Eric Cannon, A.R. Fox, Heidi Lovelace, Martin Stone, Sue Young, Mr. 450, and others. So everybody can check that out. And they'll be starting to run some bi-monthly events, and people can check them out on the YouTube page.
Yep.
So we'll
Fest Florida.
Fest is, Florida.
Just Google Fest Florida Gainesville and get more info on that.
Well, thanks for coming, Aaron.
Fritzy, it's a pleasure. I'm glad I get to see the Fritzadome. The Fritzadome. I need to plug Grid one more time.
Yeah, please.
NPGL.com, the National Pro Grid League. Really exciting, unique sport. Be in sports, Root Sports channels, Comcast Sportsnet. You can check it out there. But NPGL.com. Check it out. I did play-by-play for that over the summer. And I'm on Twitter at Rich Bocchini, B-O-C-C-H-I-N-I.
Awesome. And since we actually are almost neighbors.
We are.
I think we need to do
literally,
this more often.
Literally, it's 7 miles.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We need to do this more often. But I think a once a month at least.
I'm down for it. Yeah,
once a month.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you for a little bit of homework, though.
Okay.
You got to start watching a little bit more wrestling.
Oh, all right. I'll do it. I'll try.
I know. It's tough with your schedule. I know.
It's really not tough with my schedule. I could. It's just that
it's just you just get a DVR and watch it during the day.
I don't have cable.
Wow.
I don't have cable.
You cut the cord.
I do not have cable. I haven't had cable for years.
Can I tell you about this great Russian website? No.
Yeah, when we finish up the podcast. I have my ways to watch stuff.
Yeah, I mean, people can watch it on Hulu and there's other things. Yeah. So there's plenty of places.
We have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have whatever. And there, I've finagled ways that I can...
There's always was. You know what the funny thing is with WWE? You can almost just watch all the YouTube clips that they put up
and figure
and just
out
see parts of matches, and you can get by.
Yeah,
you can definitely get by.
I think maybe in the next show we should talk about ratings.
Yeah,
everybody talks about how ratings are down. And my philosophy is that ratings don't necessarily matter anymore, because today's three is like the seven of 5 years ago, and maybe that's over exaggerating it, but it'd be interesting to kind of get into that and the way that the new Nielsen ratings, when those finally come out, where they factor in, because they do factor in DVR and different things, but there's a whole new metric.
There's the whole plus seven and all that.
Yeah, they're supposed to be coming out with new metrics here within the next couple of months, where they've finally figured out a way to aggregate stuff better. So we should talk.
That'll be interesting. So we will do that next time, but that means you are guaranteed to come back.
Yeah, I'll come back. Why not?
So he'll be coming back. So good catching up with you, man. We'll do it next time.
A pleasure to be here at Fritzville.
And a quick reminder to everybody, please subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast on either iTunes or on Stitcher. Rate and review the podcast. You can also find it on Google Play and the TuneIn app, as well as on SoundCloud. Michael and I will be back tomorrow for a regular weekly podcast talking about No Mercy, Raw, SmackDown, and any other news and notes from the week in wrestling. Thanks again, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.